Grab your phone, tablet, or whatever you listen on and get comfy. Because here's another great episode of the Pop Zara Podcast. Enjoy it.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
We will. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
It's finally here. After years of waiting, the epic multi-season adventure starring dragons, naked people, little people, and even more naked people, often together, concludes in HBO's even more... Wait, that's Game of Thrones. Stop that. After years of waiting, Marvel's revolutionary multi-film superhero epic starring blue women, guys with knives in their... Wait, that's X-Men. All right, let's do this one more time. In 2019... Got that right. In 2019, Marvel's multi-cinematic universe concludes in Avengers Endgame. I got it right, finally. It's so hard to keep these epics in check, especially concluding epics in the year 2019, because everything is concluding this year. Everything's wrapping up. Everything's ending. Everything's done. Well, you know what? They keep telling us that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is done. They're selling Avengers Endgame as the last one. Not true, but it's good enough for now. In this episode of the Pop Zara Podcast, this is your host, Nathan Evans. I'm assembling, like Nick Fury, who for some reason gets shortchanged, I am assembling our own Avengers. And by that, I mean people who went to see Avengers Endgame on the Disney lot via screening. That means official, not YouTube ranters. And for that, I have none other than Annette Palmer. I have Ethan Brem and the writer of the review, Christian Sterling. Welcome, everyone, to the Avengers Endgame podcast.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a long way for a bad joke, but you know, I had to make it because everything's concluding. You know this. You see this. Everything is like, who's going to win the Game of Thrones? Who cares? Who's gonna win the X-Men game? No one cares, but everyone loves Avengers. And after, what is this, the 22nd film? Do we count all the other spinoffs?
Yeah.
It is the 22nd film, yeah.
Which is funny because they don't count like some of the best ones. They don't count the Spider-Man Spider-Verse. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
They don't count Logan. They don't count Logan.
Or Deadpool.
Deadpools.
Mm. Deadpools,
which is,
yeah.
Which is there's three Deadpools if you count the Clint Eastwood movie. I don't know if you ever saw it, anybody, but it's one of the Dirty Harry movies. Wouldn't Dirty Harry be awesome in the Avengers? He just blasts everybody. A lot more fun than Ninja Arrow Man. What's his name?
Oh, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. See, you spend 12 years with a guy, and he shoots arrows, and suddenly he's a katana-wielding ninja. So, yeah. All right, guys. So, you guys saw... but don't worry, he had a hoodie to cover the haircut. So, lots of hoodies in this movie. If you're into hoodies, Avengers Endgame, now playing. So, we are talking about Avengers Endgame in all seriousness. It's the 22nd entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It concludes, correct me if I'm wrong, Phase 2? Are they calling this Phase 2? I keep hearing rumblings that the next Spider-Man movie actually concludes Phase 2, so I don't even know what's concluding anymore. I know the movie made a lot of money. As of this recording, which is taking place on Sunday, 2 days after the movie launched, Avengers Endgame has already grossed $1.2 billion.
Whoa!
I know.
That's incredible.
In two and a half days, $350 million of that came from our country, North America.
Wow.
And
wow.
What means, in 2.5 days, Avengers Endgame has already outgrossed almost all of the individual Marvel movies that began it.
That's insane.
Holy moly.
That's a lot of money. And that's just in 3 days. And so it's beaten almost every single record you could think of. This will be fun, because the last movie that actually beat records like this was another Disney movie, Star Wars The Force Awakens. You shall see the limits of this. And to keep that in perspective, the last technical Avengers movie, guys, was last year's Infinity War, which made all the money, but it still didn't beat Black Panther at the box office. So we shall see what goes on. So before we get into this, a little word of warning. We're going to keep the first part of this relatively spoiler-free. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, and again, $1.2 billion, the chances are better that dead people have seen this movie than not. And so if you haven't seen the movie, you can enjoy this half, and I will make a little announcement, and then we will get into spoiler heavy, because I'll be honest with you, and I think you can all agree, this movie is impossible to talk about without spoiling things.
It's
one giant spoiler. It's what it is. Let's get into it. Let us begin where it all began. Again, Annette, Ethan, Christian, all three of you were guests of Disney publicity. You all saw the movie on the Disney lot. You all had to sign ironclad NDAs, I hope, saying that if you spill any spoilers, you're dead. They'll come to your house and get rid of you. They'll send you back to a distant past. Let's start with Annette. Annette, you were happy tweeting. You tweeted about this movie. You had a shirt, Avengers shirt.
I had a Captain Marvel shirt, yes, that I found and got specifically for this screening because I was very excited about it.
It's almost like Captain Marvel showed up for this movie, and then she
almost
didn't. She wasn't there. Let's save that for the spoilers. But let's start off with Annette. Annette, you've been to several Disney screenings. We all know that you love it to death. You want to marry it. But what did you think about the Avengers Endgame screening on the Disney lot this time around, as opposed to last year?
Are you asking about the movie or just the experience of going to the Disney lot and watching a screening?
Are they different?
Maybe.
And we'll go into Ethan, because I think, Ethan, this was your first time as well. What was it like? What was the anticipation for being at the most anticipated movie at the biggest lot around this time around?
It was very exciting. The line was very, very long. Yeah, it was a very long line, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I love going to the Disney studio. It's a very cool lot, and it's a fun place to be.
It's almost like they make it pleasurable, so you will say nice things about the movie.
Well, it does kind of feel like it feels a little bit different. Once you're on the Disney lot, I don't know. I always say the grass is a little greener, the trees are a little more lush. It has that Disney-esque feel to it.
The popcorn has real butter, so.
They didn't serve popcorn. Or at least I didn't see any.
No popcorn. I went with an old Popstar editor. Yesterday I sat down. He bought the, we were at AMC IMAX, and he bought the Avengers tin can popcorn.
Oh, wow.
It was like $50 or whatever, and he didn't touch the popcorn. I said, Paul, you're supposed to save the can, not the popcorn. But no, I don't think he knows where the popcorn ends. So. All right, Annette, you loved it. No surprise, you love the Disney lot. Ethan, this was your first time at the Disney lot. So, this was your first ever press screening, correct?
Yeah.
A lot of firsts.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I wish I could have seen more of the lot. I heard the lady next to me, she was like, oh, did you see the, 20-foot tall seven dwarves around the corner? I was like, what? She was like, yeah, just make a left out of the theater after. But then, we heard that, they would have gotten kicked us out or whatever if we did that. So we had to stay on the path. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, there's so much history and really cool, some cool photo ops that we took advantage of. And just, like, being there and everyone's there and you're like, man, who's here? We kept our eyes peeled for any notables.
Oh, but
it was a cool experience.
Didn't you see, weren't they filming A Wrinkle in Time when you went there one time?
I think the movie had already been filmed, but I saw the studio where it was filmed.
That's a brag, and then it's like asking for forgiveness. Because, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, it was on the way. I didn't, purposefully get lost in the studio ever.
Air quotes, lost.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. I'm doing the air quotes with my fingers.
I didn't know I was in Kevin Feige's office. I didn't know how I get here.
Exactly. Exactly.
The script get in my backpack.
It just happened to be on the way to where the screening room was. I couldn't help it. I look
Ethan,
around.
Ethan, I'm disappointed because if every movie you've ever seen has not taught you anything, it's taught you that when you go on a studio lot, you get lost, and then magic adventures happen, and then suddenly you're in the movies. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah. Next time I'll get lost.
Next time. So, Christian,
it's so much fun.
Getting lost is fun, but getting found by security guard is not as fun.
Yeah. No, avoid that at all costs.
But then if they've taught you anything, if you run really fast and you hide behind a corner, they run right past you. That's how it works. Screenwriting 102. Yeah. So, Christian, you've been to the Disney lot before as well, right? This is not your first time.
No, it's my first time at the lot as well. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my God! Hold on, my notes are wrong. What's going on? Scratch that. No. So anyway, it's so hard to keep track of you guys going on your firsts. You wrote the review for the movie, and you didn't spoil anything, but you spoiled one particular thing, which is becoming a meme online, which we'll get into later. And I appreciate your patience because it's still a lot of fun to talk about. what was it like? So Annette was there, Ethan was there, you were there. So what was it like as someone attending the Disney lot for the first time? And we'll get into the movie, I promise here, listeners, but this is really important stuff.
At first, we went to the wrong entrance. Ethan and I, went to the wrong entrance, and security guards were reasonably friendly in giving us directions. But then once we figured out how to find our way in, it was pretty cool. There was definitely like a long line, and it was cool being there because I started seeing actors walking around, but I couldn't place their names. I'm good with faces, I'm terrible with names. And it was just this cool positive vibe, a lot of anticipation. And I was lucky because, I mean, this doesn't sound good at first, but everybody rushed to the bathroom before the film started, because it's obviously 3 hours. And then by the time I went out, because I waited for Ethan to go first so I could save our seats, and then I went out and the line was massive. I'm going, man, they're never going to get through these people before the start time. And so security started separating us off into groups. And we went, I got picked to go with the group. We went across the street to this other building, and I got to go inside, I guess, one of their official buildings. And there's a long corridor down to the bathroom, and they just had along the wall all this framed artwork from just basically all these Disney cartoons from decades ago. It was really awesome. It was just like walking through this hallway of history. It was fantastic.
Again, you almost make it sound like an abattoir or like Sophie's Choice, like get in this line, get in that line. You want to see this movie? You want to see that movie? You know what, the secret, guys? I've sent so many people there. I've never been there. I've never been. I know every time when I lived in LA, when I used to work out there, guys, every movie screening I'd ever seen was in, it looked like someone's toilet. Like, we don't care about this movie. We don't care about this. I didn't get the fancy pants special, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs treatment you guys got. Screenings used to mean something. When I was an editor, we had to walk through 10 miles of snow. No, but no, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun from everything I hear. I'm very jealous, but I had to pay for tickets and I had to go to a theater where somebody sitting behind us, hand on heart, no joke, mistakenly did not go to the bathroom before, and they didn't want to leave the theater, so you can imagine how that went.
Man.
Yes, there's a stadium seating, it slopes, and you can imagine. You could do the math. Let's do this in reverse order. Christian, you reviewed the movie. Annette, I know you really wanted to, but we got a Penguins review coming from you. It's the same. It's totally the same. Penguins, there should be penguins in Avengers. That would be so awesome.
That would be kind of cool.
Why were there not? It's like everybody likes penguins. There's no superhero called Penguin Man. Is there? I know we have Penguin, but
there's the villain, the Batman villain.
Yeah, Danny DeVito, who was in Dumbo, so I guess it all works out. Let's go through this. So, Christian, not spoiling the part that tugged at your heartstrings the most, so what did you think about Avengers that you didn't say in the review?
That I didn't say in the review, and we're not spoiling anything at this stage,
not
right?
Not spoiling it. Let's synopsize it. Let's synopsize let's encapsulate your feelings in a easily digestible soundbite, so to speak.
Oh, geez, that I didn't say in my review. I thought my review covered it pretty well. But let's see. No, I really enjoyed it. I walked out. My only concern going in was I'm going, this is 3 hours. It didn't feel like a 3-hour film to me. Like, I thought it was just, it was a good mix of tying up loose ends. It was, there's a lot of emotion. I got all, the comic book, my comic book hit of seeing all the superheroes do their bit. It's a good high budget popcorn flick that you have to see at the cinemas. And, I was thoroughly entertained. Yeah, it's very entertaining. It's a good experience. People should see it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's how you do it. That's how you do a soundbite. And keeping in this reverse chronological order, that would mean Ethan. So same question, same answer, please.
I thought it did a really great job of, I mean, when you have 22 movies leading up to a big finale, you want something that doesn't leave a ton of loose ends or really any loose ends. And the best part about this was they really wrapped up the macro story and even like a lot of the subplots of the earlier films. They wrapped them up really well. There was closure in a lot of ways, and that's really what you want at the end of the day, I think. Whether or not you can nitpick at this and that, but as long as there was closure, I think that's the most important part, and it did that for sure.
What a mess it could have been, right? So, what a mess it could have been. It should have been a mess.
Yeah.
It still could be a mess. I don't know. Yeah. It's one of those things you'll have to look at it like 5 years from now. Annette, that leaves you. Encapsulate away.
Oh, boy. I felt like the beginning and the end were my favorite parts. For me, the middle was maybe not as exciting.
Would you say it sagged like a certain character's obvious belly?
I mean, I think it's hard to for me to talk about it without giving spoilers.
We're gonna go into that right after you. So.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I think obviously, you know, a lot of people are enjoying it, and you know, people who followed the whole 22 film saga are definitely getting their closure. And this movie, I will say, had some really good funny parts, and it also had some really great emotional moments. I even got a little teary-eyed at some point. So yeah, there were definitely some really great moments in this film.
I don't disagree with anything you guys have said, although you didn't really say a lot, because again, spoilers are necessary to talk about this film. I will say this. Can you imagine being the one guy who said, you know what? I saw all the other ones. I don't need to see this. Like, I'm good. Like, just leave it there. Like, just not wrap it up. Like, it's like when you watch, like, people who run marathons and the people who get right there, like, good enough. You know? It's like I saw that the Boston Marathon this year with a Marine. He made it right there. He was, like, maybe a quarter of a mile, and he collapsed, and he just dragged himself. Like, I got to see this. Like, that's how I feel Avengers Endgame is. It's like, if you've come this far, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, 3 hours, like you said, Christian, it doesn't seem long because you've watched 22 other movies.
That's it.
Like, it's not even relative. It's just like you've seen everything else. And I think there was some guy in the paper or the news, he won some Guinness World Book of Record, which, by the way, if you win a Guinness World Book of Record for watching a movie a lot in one day, that's not a record. That's an obsession. It's not a record. It's like, you guys ever read Guinness World Book of Records? They had, like, World's Fattest Man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not an accomplishment. That's a lack of accomplishment, but whatever. You gotta, you know, he's proud of that. He's proud of that placard. I thought Avengers Endgame was pretty good. I don't think it. I'll be honest. I didn't think it was as good as Infinity War. I didn't think.
I was so afraid to say that. No, I was so afraid to say that.
We're gonna get into spoilers here, but I'm just giving you my opinion. I wanted to see how fellating you guys would be about this movie before I introduced the idea that, oh my gasp, it could be criticized. I didn't think it was as good as Infinity War, and I want to, but that doesn't mean I didn't like it. I laughed. I didn't cry, but I laughed, and not just at a certain character's extended belly. So if you've made it this far in this podcast, we're about 10 minutes in, spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie, which is very, 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 very unlikely, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't think it's a matter of you seeing the movie. I think it's a matter of how many times have you seen the movie already. Mm-hmm. And so from this point on, there'll be spoilers for Avengers Endgame, the 22nd movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which we are going to just spoil like milk that's been in the fridge that's gone bad. You guys ready?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's go back. So, Annette, let's start with you. Let's get into this. In Infinity War, a lot of people died. They turn into dust particles. And they floated away, and everyone cried, oh my God, this is the end. Nobody with a brain believed that, because they already greenlit like 20 other movies. So we all kind of knew going in that they'd come back. I think everybody is agreed about it. Like who's going to come back?
Right.
And even characters that they specifically said in Infinity War, no coming back for you, came back. Death means nothing in Avengers Endgame. Time means nothing in Avengers Endgame. Anything that they could undo, they undid. And so, even in other movies. So, Annette, let's talk about what you really felt. You're safe. You're with friends.
Yes. So,
tell us what you really felt about Avengers Endgame.
Well, let me start by saying that I actually really did not want to write the review for this film.
What?
Yeah.
Should I write this review? And I said, you don't have to.
I know. Like, oh. I was like, oh, good. Phew. Like I said, I really loved the beginning. I thought the end was epic and great. But I felt the middle, you know, the time travel, the bringing, you know, the superheroes back from the dead. I felt it was very soap opera-like, especially after seeing the ending and seeing that, you know, big spoiler alert here, some do actually die at the end of this movie, or by the end of this movie, I should say. I'm like, if you know you're going to kill off these superheroes, why not just kill them off in the last movie and make their death meaningful as opposed to bringing them back in the next film
we call that a Carrie Fisher. It's just when you missed a perfect opportunity to literally kill two birds with one stone. No, they didn't do it. And
so I felt like this movie, like I thought the last movie, I thought Infinity War was amazing. I was shocked by some of the choices they made. I mean, I was like, wow. And then with this movie, I was like, really? Really? So I felt like this movie was almost like kind of slightly a missed opportunity. Instead of looking back, I really wish they would have looked forward and done something more instead of trying to undo what they had already done.
There were a lot of cheap gimmicky resurrections, weren't there? And
yeah.
Often in the same movie. They would kill somebody, then bring them back in the same movie.
Yeah.
Like they did that with Samuel Jackson in one of the Civil War, one of the Captain America movies where they killed him, but then he came back like 20 minutes later. It's like, so Ethan, what do you really feel? Now that we're into spoilers.
Yeah, so I think that I'm with Annette. I think that Infinity War was better, but I probably think it's the two movies are closer than Annette thinks they are, than Annette feels like they are. Because I know she didn't like she told me after the movie she didn't like the middle part, the time travel stuff. Which I mean, when you do time travel, it's risky, right? And you risk opening up a bunch of plot holes and not knowing how to really handle that. And I think for the most part, it did a pretty good job with not leaving too many of those, but there's still a couple here and there. But what I think that this movie actually did do better than Infinity War is that in Infinity War, there were almost too many cooks in the kitchen where you felt like characters were there as formalities instead of actually serving a purpose. Whereas in this movie, obviously, like people died or quote unquote, died in the last movie. So, I mean, so you have fewer people to work with, which was a plus because characters actually had uses other than just having their faces show up on screen.
Besides at the end, obviously. Literally their faces just showed up on the screen. Yeah. They photoshopped their faces into the screen. It's like, and it's so obvious. It's so obvious. Like, we couldn't get you here, but we got your image.
Yeah. And Infinity War felt cramped, but this one there was a little bit more room to breathe, which I liked a lot. And there was some fun commentary and satire of time travel, which I'm a big time travel fan, so I thought that was cool. Sure. You know, they referenced some of my favorite movies. But the highlight to me was how they utilized the Hulk in this movie. I think that for every time I've seen him, they really tried to make him work, but he's just kind of felt like they didn't really know how to use him, but I think they utilized him perfectly in Endgame, and that was my biggest takeaway.
Should we say a very new version of the Hulk?
Like, yeah, of course.
Think Beast in X-Men a little bit.
Yeah,
and a green Beast. So, yeah. And we'll get back to that in a second. So, Christian, before I ask you the same question, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the show Star Trek Voyager?
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody watch Star Trek Voyager on this?
No.
Okay.
No.
It used to be considered the worst Star Trek until the one after it, and then there's a new Star Trek. So technically, the Star Trek Voyager has risen as the new Star Trek shows have been terrible. The finale of Star Trek Voyager, which came out in 2001, concerned the ship with Janeway, the captain, and somehow they went into this time travel wormhole thing, and they ended up there for 25 years. And along the way, many characters died, and it looked like, oh, what a sad ending. And then they discovered that there's a way to time travel back to the past to stop it from happening. So they find this secret quantum realm juice that protects them so they can go back in time and resurrect all the dead people and do a reset. Sound a little familiar?
Yeah.
Do you know what the name of this episode on Star Trek Voyager was called?
No.
Don't tell me it's Endgame.
Endgame.
Oh, man.
So... If we're looking at Star Trek, I'm sorry, excuse me, easy mistake. If we're looking at Avengers Endgame for originality, don't. If you're looking at it for proper time travel, don't. If you're looking at it for all this, don't. So that being said, I needed to get that out of the way. What'd you really think about it, Christian?
I agree with the others in that. Infinity War is the better film. I had the same conversation with a mate of mine at work, actually. But it doesn't mean that this is an enjoyable film. I still really enjoyed Endgame. And it's because Endgame and Infinity War are two completely different films. Like, essentially, Infinity War is, 90% one massive fight. You know what I mean? It's the big climactic fight scene you know, after 20 something, you know, odd movies, whereas this film, you know, it's after the fact. And, you know, and as Ethan said before, because you've got less characters, it went back to, you know, telling a story and, you know, and focusing on individual characters. Infinity War was just, like I said, it was just a big, you know, a big fight. Everybody was in there. There's a lot of players involved. Whereas this one, yeah, it's slower. And I think that's what I really liked about it. You know, you got to delve into, you know, the emotional arc of characters. I mean, I mentioned in my review, I love Tony Stark in this one. Like, you know, because he's just so broken at the death, you know, of Peter Parker. And yeah, it's just a very different film, and I just love that it wrapped it all up. And yeah, it's got plot holes, but I'm like Ethan, I love time travel, so all that middle bit with the time travel, yeah. I'm like, yeah, man, bring it on! Like this is wicked.
Do you remember? If any of you guys are a fan of Doctor Who, you notice that Doctor Who plays with time travel as well, but Doctor Who doesn't really try to explain it. And whenever it has what you would call the paradoxes or the mistakes, they just call it timey-wimey. Like they don't even bother giving it a cool name; they just say timey-wimey. And it reminds – and I mentioned this before the podcast, but the big film influence here – if you guys remember Guardians of the Galaxy, there's that scene with Michael Rooker as he's flying down. He's like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And then like a year later, we get a Mary Poppins movie. Well, I noticed – yes, he is cool. Back to the Future, which gets name-checked in Avengers. Remember this. They specifically talk about Back to the Future.
They do. I love that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Avengers Endgame – becomes Back to the Future. Literally, it becomes Back to the Future Part 2. And maybe that's the part that Annette didn't love and cherish.
No, actually, that's what I wanted to say. It was not the time travel part at all. I thought the time travel part was cool, and it was definitely an homage to all the characters and their storylines leading up to this film. It was the fact that the whole movie was all about trying to undo what was done in the previous movie. That for me was the hiccup. It wasn't that they were, you know, time traveling. It was more about the fact that it almost felt like Disney had made this huge decision. And then they're like, oh, my gosh, what did we do? We have to undo this. And we're going to spend 3 hours undoing it.
Now, no spoilers here, but some people had theorized that this is what's going to happen, that they'd have to use time travel to undo this mess. And this is no secret. The very first blockbuster superhero movie was Superman. And I'm sure if you guys haven't seen it, which it's a 40-year-old movie, please tell me you've seen it. There's an iconic scene.
I know Travis has seen it, most likely. Well, definitely.
I don't know with Travis, because every time I think he's seen movies, he hasn't. So I don't
know. Oh, but it's Superman. He's obsessed with Superman. So, okay. Yeah.
There's a scene in Superman where Lois Lane dies. And the only way to Superman can save Lois Lane is by flying around the Earth and spinning the Earth backwards.
Therefore, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Therefore, reversing time, because that's how it
works. Right? Yep.
And everyone talks about Superman. They love Superman. And they don't bring up this scene, which is so stupid. We just buy it because we don't want Lois Lane to die. We want her to live.
Right.
And so we're willing to accept this stupidity. And I think that's what's going to happen with Endgame, is that there's a scene in Back to the Future 2. Remember? Back to the Future 2, by the way, if you don't know. Not only it's the most Nostradamus film of all time. It predicted so much. It did.
Yeah.
And also, it's probably the best time travel movie of all time, I would say, because it introduces the idea that you can go back to the previous movie, which Endgame does. So what Endgame does, Endgame goes back into many of the other movies, specifically the first Avengers, and you get to see it from different angles, and they get to have more fun adventures. Mm-hmm. But do you remember the scene in Back to the Future 2, guys, where Doc Brown tries to explain to Marty how time travel works, and he brings up the blackboard and explains it, and you're like, okay, this movie respects my intelligence enough to explain how this nonsense works. Mm-hmm. And they had Tilda Swinton do that in Endgame. You know, what was her character? I don't know. I don't remember half these characters. And so I'm sorry. And she tries to explain how time travel, and it doesn't make sense even the way she explains it with her hologram magic. Mm-hmm. And that's when you realize you just have to go with it, because nothing you see makes any sense. If you just try to think about it, you're going to hate the movie. Don't think about it, because nothing makes sense. Nothing. Characters go back in the past. They take things from the past. Doesn't matter. They resurrect people. Doesn't matter. They change things. Doesn't matter. They just go back and just undo it. And that's my biggest problem with the movie. And here's where I'm going to get into my gripe. Annette, you said you cried a little bit. I'll admit, I cried a little bit too when somebody peed behind me. But I will say this. But when it comes to the movie, though, the problem I have is that not all the movies are great. I would say, for the most part, the Marvel movies have been pretty good on average. Mm-hmm. Some have been really great, some not so much. And so characters have died and they've resurrected. But in, specifically as it relates to the Avengers, you have characters that specifically died and they made emotional appeals for that. And what Endgame does, it brings them back to kill them again. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just stop crying because I'll just come out and say it. Can we just spoil the big moment here? Again, spoilers. Mm-hmm. Captain America, who probably gets more time here than he probably should. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a butt that won't quit. It's America's ass, people. So, by the way, in an Avengers movie, you have Captain America admiring his own ass. So, I don't get it. So, maybe I'm not the demographic. But anyway, Agent Peggy Carter, as we all know. Agent Peggy Carter has died twice now. So Agent Peggy Carter from the first Captain America movie, she got her own show. That was killed off. They already killed her off in one of the other events. She died of old age. And they bring her back for this one. And my question is, how many times can you cry over a character dying before you just can't cry anymore? And so, and that wasn't just the only scene, though. And I'll shut up here in a second, get your guys' thoughts. But many characters died and you felt bad. And then they got resurrected. And the other character was Loki. Loki was specifically killed in the last movie. In fact, he very specifically was said, no resurrection this time. Snap his neck, you're dead. But did you guys catch this? He's alive again. They brought him back and he disappeared. And so he's back in the universe.
Really?
You remember he took the when they're back in, remember Robert?
Yeah, when the Hulk knocks into Tony Stark.
Yeah.
So he's back now. He's back now. And he's got
to really connect that, I guess.
There's just so much stuff. Like, there's so much stuff. Like, you have to watch this movie 20 times to catch all the little things. But I remember that because Nia, one of our editors who was sitting next to me, squealed like a pig whenever Loki showed up. Like, she was like, Loki! I was like a sound machine. And she's the one who brought up to me, Loki's alive again. He's alive. Wow. And you know who else is alive? Gamora's alive again.
Yep.
So if your character died in the present, you just go back in time and rescue the old version, and yet somehow that's right. Okay. And they did this so many times. And I just, after a while, I'm like, I don't care. You know what? Die. Just die. Because you just come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like roaches. You can't stay dead. You're dead. So
yeah.
The only resurrection that really, like, affected me was Spidey. When he died, like, I cried when he was dying in the last movie. And then when he came back, that's when I was like, I literally, like, gasped. And I was, like, so excited to see him. I don't know why particularly him. Maybe because his death in Infinity War was so emotional.
No.
But it was
you and everybody else in my theater, Annette, squealed more than Loki with an.
I didn't squeal. I mean, but I. It definitely drew like a little mist in my eyes, and so yeah.
I think, and before I get to you, I think it's because that death with Spidey or whatever you want. I don't even know if a powder death is a death, but. Because the relationship between Tony and Peter, even though it was only for two films, was so impactful for a lot of people.
Yes.
That was like, it was so important for a lot of people. And I think that meant more. And I got to tell you, that's the part that I kind of sniffled at too. Like you feel the chemistry between these two and more so than the girl who played his daughter. So like the hamburger, I'll just call her hamburger girl. She just wanted hamburgers. She's going to end up. Yeah. No offense, little girl. If you keep eating all those hamburgers that Happy Hogan gives you, you're going to look like a certain character that we're going to get to in a minute. So,
oh gosh.
So, real quick. So, Christian. We're going to you. So, Ethan, you had a comment. You were gonna.
Oh yeah. Well, I was gonna say that. You know, I love time travel. It's probably my favorite subgenre of film. But when you have, when you use the time travel to bring people back from the dead, it kind of messes with the rules to the point where you compromise any semblance of rules at all. And when you do that, then it kind of makes any sort of storyline or premise or narrative feel like there's an out at the end or like you can reverse anything. And when you play that game, it gets a little dangerous. And I feel like they may have opened a Pandora's box for themselves for future films, for opening up plot holes for those. Cause then any bad thing that happens, people just, you just go back in time. And to have just like a trigger or a do ex machina like that, I guess, it kind of messes with – it could potentially lead down a dark path, I think. And I think that's the weakest part of the time
Or lazy storytelling. or lazy.
Exactly.
Story
yeah.
And that's because we can forgive bad time travel if it's clever. Mm-hmm. If you fall, I don't know if you guys watch any of the Terminator movies, and you know, some people say they stop at 2. The 3 was okay. Did anybody see Terminator Genesis where they had where they had old Arnold beat up young Arnold? Yeah. And now we get old Captain America fighting young. And now we got a movie with Will Smith coming out where old Will Smith fights young Will Smith. By the way, Gemini Man looks pretty good. This is a thing now. This is a thing, especially when you don't even need to have the actors there. It's all CG stuff. You have
like
old
Looper.
People. Exactly. Like everything's. Yeah, but Looper, with all due respect, Looper, those two guys didn't look anything like each other.
No, yeah. And,
like they put all that ugly nose makeup on Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He still didn't look a damn thing like Bruce Willis. And then somebody saw Looper and said, "Let's give this man a Star Wars." And I think I know what happened now. So, go back from Looper. So Christian, we saved this part for you. So of all the stuff that you liked in the movie, there's one thing that you didn't like, and I've been saving this. I've been teasing this. You guys have got my teases. So what's the one thing in this movie that you clearly did not care for?
This might come as a surprise, especially if you read my review. It was Thor. Oh, my God, did they ruin that character. I mean, we've discussed this before, Nate, that Thor is different in every film. And even the problem with this movie is that, like, for example, if you saw Thor Ragnarok, I love Thor Ragnarok. Because as we said, Chris Hemsworth is better at comedy, you know, than trying to be like an action dude. But even though I love Thor Ragnarok, I always made the comment, I said, this movie does not fit in with the vibe of the other Marvel films. It's like this, it's this own standalone, funny, great Thor movie. But it doesn't fit in with everything. And then what they tried to do is they've tried to make him even funnier. And then, you know, Endgame is this heartstring climactic end to everything. And then you've just got this fat Thor who's a drunk with a terrible wig that looks like they got from an op shop. And they maintain it. It's funny for that first scene, you know, when they're in his house and they're talking about the Wi-Fi, like, oh, he kind of let himself go. This is kind of funny. And then they just maintain it. And every time he appears in any other scene with all these other characters and better actors, it's just woeful, man. It's just so terrible when he appears on screen.
I don't have my review.
He looks like a pot smoking hobo beach bum from Byron Bay, Australia. You know, Yeah, and if you're from like Australian surf culture, he wasn't even really acting. He was just playing in an Aussie beach bum.
So
it was just terrible.
So for those who don't understand, who can't catch Christian's accent, he's from Australia, so he knows. So it's like is that how other people see Americans? Like is that how we think fat Australians look? Like that giant pot belly, it was like the costume from like Nothing But Trouble, when Dan Aykroyd played those fat man babies. And my question to you, I get it. Everybody in the theater squealed and laughed. I get it. Totally get it. You know, let's make fun of the fat. Let's fat shame Thor, which I never thought I'd say those words. But you're right though. I don't know if you guys caught this. That's my working theory is that Chris Hemsworth is not an action star. He is a comedian, and it took a while to realize this, right? And it reminds me of when Vince Vaughn was in a lot of serious movies, which with, by the way, Jon Favreau, creator of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And then somebody realized, hey, this guy's funny. We'll put him in funny movies. And he was a huge star. And we got Men in Black, International coming out, where they team him with Tessa Thompson, who played Valkyrie. He's a funny guy. He's really funny. And now he's too funny. There's too much funny Thor. Mm-hmm. And you know, he gets to see his mom again, and she tells him to eat a salad. So even his mom's fat shaming him. But my question to you is this: here's my biggest complaint. I'm gonna nitpick a little bit. Here's where I complain. I looked at that fat suit and I thought, has anybody ever seen what a fat person looks like? because I gotta tell you, as I was coming out of the Avengers, and I don't think this is a spoiler, a lot of very well endowed fans at my theater, as I'm sure there were at yours. And that's what fat looks like. I'm just going to guess that you probably saw some of that. And I saw people stretch the limits of XXXXL. And fat doesn't hang like that. Fat expands. And my question is that, Annette, you brought up Peter Parker. Parker does connect. Do you remember the final scene? No spoilers. Where they literally just, everyone just starts blasting in the battlefield and they start showing up.
Yes.
There's a scene when they show Spider-Man and then the so-called suit comes off. And the special effects are so bad that it's just, 1 minute it's the suit, 1 minute it's Peter Parker. And it's just, you can tell it's just a CG overlay over Peter Parker, because that's what Black Panther suit is. That's what the suits are in the Marvel. There's no real suits anymore. Mm. So Peter Parker never wears a real suit. He's a CG suit, like Iron Man.
Right.
But they made a suit for Thor and his fat belly. And I thought to myself, this is the thing, and I'm sure you guys have noticed this, where the characters are all CG now. Whenever there's fighting, it's all CG. It's all CG. Everything's CG, CG, CG. And I don't know if you saw Venom, but the bad guy in Venom, this was a good sign of this, where I forget his name, Wiz Khalifa, that's a rapper. The guy who, you know what I'm talking about, I forget his name. If you know his name, I apologize. He was the bad Venom. And he just walks, and all of a sudden the CG comes over him. It's like watching Spawn from 1996. That's how bad it is for me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no sign this person had a uniform on. It's just clean. And it reminded me of Spider-Man 2. Do you remember Spider-Man 2 when Spider-Man fights Doc Ock on on the train? And remember that very famous scene where his mask gets ripped off? And, like, it's clear, like, Tobey Maguire's clearly wearing a costume, and his mask comes off, and you could see it's all dirty, and it's got ripped. It felt real. And it also reminded me of Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer. Mm-hmm. And remember that scene when she's all spazzed out and Bruce Wayne rips his mask off? Like, these are real costumes, right? These are real things that people wear, and they show damage. But the CG stuff is so just an after effect. It doesn't feel real to me at all. And it just kept taking me out. And when I saw Fat Thor, I was like, he's wearing a fat costume. I can tell.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a real thing. That's the only real costume in this damn movie. It's a fat costume.
Yeah. The thing is, though, man, they had time travel as a tool to whip him back into shape, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of wish that they would have, like, changed out the fat Thor for the past Thor.
It tended to undercut the emotion a couple times, too. Like, because people were snickering when they should have been feeling different things in the theater, because It just played off as way too much of a like a farce, like what Christian was saying.
Yeah, it's like, and because they want to make Chris Hemsworth funny. I get it, and like I said, we all agree he's better as a funny guy, right? I think we all agree, but like people, the girls, no offense, the girls, and some guys want to see shirtless Chris Hemsworth. Well, you got it. You just don't want it now. Be careful what you ask for. it's like seeing Mickey Rourke back in like 1996 before he was popular again. You're like, Put a shirt on, or take some steroids. By the way, Mickey Rourke wasn't in here. Mickey Rourke was in the Marvel Universe. He wasn't here. Marissa Tomei was, and she was. They're both in The Wrestler. Not fair. Not fair. So, but again, and I just want to gripe about that a little bit. Is that I miss the physicality of the old comic book movies. Maybe because I'm nitpicking, but I wish there were more real costumes. I just wish, with all the money they got, after a while, the CG just doesn't. It's too much, and it became overwhelming. And I was like, when they copied and pasted all the characters at the end, it's like, oh, look at that. Of course you're here. Of course you're here, too. And it's just like CG, 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 CG. And I think maybe, I don't know if you guys agree, it's just like, I get it. It's cool. But it's like, I would rather have the character moments, like between Tony and Spider-Man, or, you know, or the tender moments. Like, give me that. Give me Rocky Raccoon with Groot. You know, give me the old-fashioned days of a wisecracking raccoon with a talking tree. Like, the good old days. So, but yeah, so I saw a lot of rippling bellies that were real, and they didn't look anything like Thor's flaccid belly. So, now, apart from the bad CG, which I thought was bad CG, and apart from that, before we end up wrapping up, because again, this movie is just so much. There's just so much. We'll start on it again. Annette, final thoughts about Avengers Endgame, and if you have any last-minute gripes or complaints, now's the time.
I don't think I'm going to give any more gripes or complaints in my final thoughts. I'm just going to say that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it, and rightly so. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. It's a pretty good movie. And if you are a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then chances are you're going to love it and add to the $1.2 billion that they've already made.
Yeah. And that, especially that one guy, like that one guy is just going to see this movie 7 times a day. And that tally's just going to tick up slightly. just exactly. like a slow drip. But Annette, you're exactly right. No matter what you and I and anybody else on this podcast has to say, this movie's going to make it more money. Like Thanos says, it is inevitable.
And nothing kudos to Disney for, you know, for finding that niche where they can just, you know, make billions and billions of dollars and give people a lot of enjoyment, because I mean, obviously these movies are mm-hmm. meant to have fun, and you know, it's not supposed to be taken yes. too seriously or thought too much about or anything like and that.
So would you say that the reason this movie is making all this money is because they've done a really good job so far?
Yeah, I think so. I also think that there are a lot of fans. There's the diehard fans, and then there are just the more passive fans who are like, oh, another Marvel movie, I'm going to go see it. So between those two and then the other people mm-hmm. who just kind of come along for the ride, there's definitely no shortage of love for these characters.
And no shortage of movies either. So
that's true.
Ethan, mm-hmm. final thoughts, gripes, complaints, love bits, smash letters?
Yeah, I mean, even to me, even kind of below par or even par, time travel is fun time travel. I mean, that's how I mean, Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies of all time. They reference it a couple times. Even the composer is the same, Alan Silvestri. He also composed mm-hmm. Back to the Future, which is kind of a cool little Easter egg. But, I mean, my biggest, the thing that really probably put the biggest damper on the movie for me was the Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Not the fact that she wasn't in it so much, but even towards the fight scene at the end where there is that kind of little pandering moment where someone was like, oh yeah, we got
girl power.
She's got help, and I'm like, she doesn't need help. She's like one of the most powerful heroes. Like she doesn't need help from Iron Man version of Pepper Potts.
She yeah. is the help. Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Right.
It seems so fake and phony, and that really kind of left a sour taste in my mouth when up until then I was like really having a good time. But then that kind of, I was like, okay, this, it didn't feel like the film had a huge agenda until that kind of was inserted there and it kind of irritated me.
It definitely felt like Captain Marvel, and we know the movie came out, made $1 billion as well. It definitely felt like she wasn't part of the movie. Like, mm-hmm. they just said, how can we insert her in here? It's like watching, like, the American Godzilla from 1950. Like, how can we just put, like, Raymond Burr in this movie for the Americans? Like, how can we pander a little bit? Because she shows up at the beginning. No big spoiler. Of course she shows up. She's in the trailer. And there's no interaction between her and the Avengers. She's just there, and they accept her as an Avenger. Mm-hmm. And she's just there, and then she goes away. And she's like, I got a million other planets to go save. And then she comes back. She only shows up to save the day.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when all is lost, Captain Marvel shows up. She wrecks hell. She saves the day, and then she flies away again. She's gone like Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
I thought her last entrance was epic. That was one of my favorite parts of the film, when she came mm-hmm. in and just with one solid punch just destroyed that ship. That was awesome.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. Very cool.
That was cool.
They called her in like a bomb. Like,
I wish they had used her more. I thought she was a cool character. I wish they had. Mm-hmm. I wish she was more than just a little.
I'm glad she was there. I wish there was more character moments though, because she's not a character. That's the problem. In this movie, she's not a character. She's a secret right. weapon.
Yeah.
And you get no interaction. You get no sense that she's part of this. She just felt like she's there. And to Ethan's question about the scene you're talking about. My least favorite Marvel character of all time is in that scene, Scarlet Witch, who I think is the worst character in these whole movies. And there's that scene because, you know, she's clearly the most powerful one of all. And she's taking on Thanos by herself, and she's winning, and she's destroying Thanos, right? And then Thanos says to her, like, I don't know who you are. And I'm like, exactly. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. Like, and I actually laughed at that part really loud. I was like, I don't know who you are either. You're this actress with a bad accent related to the Home Alone babies. Like, I don't, not Home Alone, Full House.
Full House, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Or should I say, the one person from Full House who's not going to be a felon. So, and it turned out to be Aunt Becky all along. It's like the game Clue. Damn you, Becky. So, yeah, so that's, thank you for bringing up Captain Marvel. Christian, final thoughts, complaints, gripes, love letters?
Like I said, I mean, it's far from a perfect movie, but when you're trying to wrap up like so many story arcs in this time travel, I'm prepared to forgive the little things. Like, yeah, there was that moment of like girl power. I'm like, oh, really? Whatever. Like, you know, Captain Marvel doesn't need your help. And they do wheel her in when they just need her to save the day. You know, the only thing I would have liked to have seen more, to be honest, and this is just, I mean, you know by now, Nate, I kind of like
more. This movie's 3 hours.
No, I wanted more deaths, man. Like, I sit there when
he killed half the people in the universe.
Yeah, but with such an, dude, at the end, with such an epic battle, like, you know, Thanos is rocked up with an army. I'm going, come on, some of these people aren't really super, you know, they're just people in a metal suit, or they're just, you know, like a really good fighter. Like, there should have been like some more death. I mean, there's that scene where, and I was chatting to Ethan about this, where there was a moment where I thought, like, oh man, this is where Captain America is going to go down, you know, and he's getting pummeled to all hell. And I'm like, oh, here he goes. And then they just kind of stop. Like, there were just moments where, I don't know, I just would like to have been a bit more nasty, you know, just other than that, it was a great, I enjoyed it as the popcorn flick that it is, you know?
So. Yeah. Christian, you're the only person on this planet who wants a 3-hour movie to be longer and a movie where half the people died more deaths. Like, are you, what, how sick are you? No, but who was I talking? Now you don't even know. I forgot.
Yeah, so, no, I was talking to someone the other day about it, and I said, like, how awesome would these movies be if they were directed by the guy, I forget his name, who did RoboCop and Starship Troopers?
Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven.
Verhoeven, yes. And he also did Showgirls. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah. Showgirls. So,
and Basic Instinct. But don't worry. But, you know, it's like, if he did it, then what's her face? Who's the actress who played Basic Instinct? Sharon Stone would show up in a because why not? When, no offense, Ethan, when Pepper Potts showed up, I'm like, why not? Just why not? Why not the maid? Why not everybody? Everybody's super with a super suit. It's like the Incredibles with a syndrome. Like, everyone's gonna have super. Everybody's a superhero. And my biggest complaint about the movie, I like the movie too. I quite enjoyed it. But my biggest thing is that at the end, it does the same thing that Avengers 2 did. And Avengers 2, I don't know what you guys think. Avengers 2 is the worst Avengers by far. It's the movie that got Josh Whedon booted out. Can you imagine Josh Whedon doing this? Ugh. So he's already screwing up Justice League, which Travis loves, by the way, and that I can't help you on that. But
yeah.
He still hasn't seen Mission Impossible. I'm going to make fun of him that. I got to send you guys a box set of DVDs. So, but the fact is, it's like, they have all these cool powers. Like you said, some of them are super, some are not. But at the end, it's a Braveheart battle, like Braveheart. That's what they did in Black Panther. That's what they did in Infinity War. It's like, let's all get on the battlefield and run at each other and smash. Mm. And then boom, boom, boom. And all my powers are going to be basically weapons and missiles. And it's not as clever as I would have liked, but I don't know what else you're going to do when you just have this billion characters just thrashing at each other. Mm. It's like a real-time strategy game. It's just, what else can you do? What else can you do? And my final gripe is this. At the end, when they died, and yeah, you remember the ending credits? Let me bring up one more Star Trek reference, because I'm not a big Star Trek nerd, but I like Star Trek. Did anybody here see Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, which was at the time supposed to be the last Star Trek movie?
I can't really remember it now.
It's the last one with, you know, the real cast, you know, Spock and Kirk and all this stuff. It came
is that
out-
the one where Kirk dies?
No, that's the one after. The one after the emotional ending. So, no, that's my point, is that Star Trek VI was supposed to be the last one. You know, you spent 25 years with these characters. And it was a great movie, by the way. Great. It's the one where Kirk, they're all in the Star Trek, and you get this iconic shot, and he's like, where do you want to go, Captain? And he's like, straight out there, you know, second star to the right and straight until morning. And then they all fly off, and what they do is they show the characters autographing the screen. You see the characters autograph the screen. And in the Avengers, did you guys wait for the credits? They do that here. The characters sign their names.
Yep.
And the first thing I thought to myself was, this movie's going to make $2 billion. How many of them are coming back? Like, it's not the end of anything.
Yeah.
It's not the end of anything. They'll come back. And final segue. And for those who listen, I'm so sorry for these segues. But did you ever see Transformers the movie, the 1987 one?
Mm-mm.
Anybody? No. No, Annette?
No.
Oh, God. You know what? I'm so old. But no, in Transformers the movie, by the way, starring Judd Nelson, okay? Judd Nelson, you know?
Yeah, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, if you guys ever watch Bumblebee and they keep referencing Breakfast Club, that's why, okay? So anyway, in the movie, what they did is they killed half the characters. They killed half the characters. Like, right within the first 10 minutes, boom, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they wanted to introduce new characters and new toys. But then the new toys turned out to suck. And so they said, shit, we need to bring back all the old ones that people liked. And then they brought back the old ones, and the money kept flowing. And that's what, that's what I feel of the Avengers. Let's be honest. They hint characters characters died. They handed over their power, you know, handed over their shields, whatever. And they're clearly setting up a new Avengers, correct? Like setting up a new Avengers team. Let's see how that goes. Let's see how a Brie Larson led Avengers with Anthony Mackie as Captain America goes. Let's see how this goes.
I'm excited, actually. I mean, I'm just kind of out of curiosity. I mean, it's weird knowing something for, you know, since 2008, and then all of a sudden, you know, the changing of the guards, so to speak. And I don't know. It's exciting to see where it's going to go next. Mm-hmm. And I think that Marvel actually has had maybe arguably their best two-year run these last 2 years, in my opinion. I think they've really put out some really cool stuff.
They've had a really good financial run. What worries me though, Ethan, and my final thought is that as creative as these movies have been in places and as predictable, what really bothers me is that if it turns out this new Avengers team doesn't quite work, that they're going to find a way to undo this movie and then bring them back. That has happened many, many times in film. Like, oh, this didn't work. Let's go back and just, you know, let's go ahead and pander a little bit.
That's true too. We just need some Wolverine. I think
that'll
fix it all.
Well, that's the magic of movie making. You know, you can undo anything or redo everything. It's all part of the cinematic world.
Yeah. Well, as someone at Disney who owns every franchise under the roof. Said in a brand new trailer for the upcoming, which they are also touting as the end of a saga with Star Wars Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, the end of a saga. No one's ever really gone.
That's true.
Even if you've been dead for 30 years in the movies, like the Emperor, you're back. Even if you've been dead for 40 years in real life, like Peter Cushing, you'll be back. And nothing, as long as there's money to be made, you'll be back. And so with that, what won't be back is your Pop Zara pals talking about Avengers Endgame because we're done. And with that, you've been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. We've been chatting, ranting, making fun, having fun, tearing apart. But overall, I think pretty much loving Avengers Endgame. It's out now in theaters, if you didn't know, which you probably did. It's making all the money. And I'd like to thank my own Avengers. I don't want to call you the varsity team. You're the A-team. not like Mr. T A-team, but my A-team. Yeah. And with that, I'd like to thank Annette Palmer, sign your name. Ethan Brem, sign your name. And Christian Sterling, a.k.a. I Hate Fat Thor, sign your name. This has been Nathan Evans. Thank you, everybody. Go see the movie. You've probably already seen it. Make all the money. And with that, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. You guys can say bye, too.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. For more exciting content, check out popzara.com for the latest on games, movies, tech, and more.